day five changes, the architecture, blah, 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 shalalala.
Shalalala.
You want to do that one or?
Yeah.
We can start with that one.
Yeah.
And then we'll move into some transitioning, reference some episodes.
Yep.
Welcome back. Welcome back.
Welcome back. Thanks for the claps.
What was that one? What was that one? Who are you, Diana? Who
Me?
Are you? Oh, I just said it.
I was going to say, I am human.
Where is that from?
I don't know.
You don't know.
Thank you, Cora.
That's what
I'm saying.
That's what I'm
that's
saying.
That's the kind of attitude we need.
Yeah, that's the attitude we need. And then Ace just chilling dead. Okay, welcome back to another week's episode of
Architecture Matters Podcast.
Architectural, how do you say it in Spanish?
Un arquitectura importante. I don't know. No.
Un podcast.
You gotta say the podcast.
Okay.
Because matters means that
it's important. Importante.
Que importa, sí, básicamente. I'm sure there's a better translation.
Close enough.
Yanu, I'm a do the Google part.
Y'all knew who it. Y'all know who it is.
Yeah.
In the beginning of rap songs, they'll be like, "Y'all already know who it is," and it's like, "Bro, we don't know you."
Yeah. Lemas.
So your host. What?
See, like Google Translate, I put matters. Mm-hmm. It's double T E R S.
Mm-hmm.
And in Spanish means asuntos.
And what does that really mean?
Like the business.
Like what do you mean? Matters?
Like asunto is like a, like we have something to talk about.
Yeah.
But like asunto means like, like, oh, hay un asunto aquí atrás. Like, oh, there's something going on.
Say that again. Say it slower.
Hay un asunto.
Aún.
You
see? You don't believe me.
Sí, ves. So, thank you. arquitectura importa. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's important.
Yeah.
It matters.
It matters. Yeah.
But over here, freaking translate saying asuntos.
Shout out to our Hispanic listeners.
Yes.
Okay.
Gracias. Accordingly, we need a better translator.
Well, Hispanic Heritage Month coming up. Okay.
September 15th to October 15th.
Never heard of this week, a day in my life, but now I do.
I mean, I knew September because of Mexico, but no, because like I didn't know it was like in a general Hispanic. Mm-hmm. Heritage.
My mom, do you know King's Day?
No.
So apparently in the Caribbeans in DR, there's like a King's Day. Mm-hmm. And I don't know the whole story but behind the celebration, but like you'd put like a present under your bed, basically. And I was like, oh, okay. I guess.
You put a present? So like, you have to buy yourself a present and put it under?
It's like Christmas, but instead of putting the present under the tree, the present's under your bed. And it's something about, you know, like Three Kings Day or something like that. I don't really know about it, but
the Three Kings. I mean, there's a thing on, you know, the Catholicism, the Three Kings, when they come and then they bring like they whenever Jesus is born, and they're traveling in like the, how do you say it? Come on,
the camels.
Yeah, camels
with the humps.
Yeah. And they're sitting, so it's three kings, and they're each like different color.
See, but I think my mom just like out of nowhere wanted to celebrate it, and then when we found out it meant more gifts, she was like, "Oh nah, we're not doing that no more." Because then I never heard about it ever again.
Yeah, it's called like in Spanish. It's like Los Tres Reyes Magos.
Okay, I'm not gonna repeat that.
Yeah.
I butcher
magical three kings, whatever.
On a camel.
Yeah.
Well,
all right.
Congratulations for being a Latin American Hispanic.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, you are too, even though you don't speak Spanish. Well, but I guess.
American Hispanic.
You're the exception.
Word.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so what are we talking about today?
I don't know. So we'll start with two dogs wrestling. I got my money on the black lab.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. He's a little quiet.
A lot of money on the Aussie for sure.
So before we get into the bulk of the episode and just reference some projects, reference some episodes. They are projects. They're my
this
babies.
Is how much you get an idea of how much work Nick does.
So if you listen to the previous episode, I mentioned when I got back from New York, my little visit and architecture sightseeing, which I don't know if I'll ever get into here. But it was like deadline after deadline after deadline. So there was like an SD deadline. Mm-hmm. And then there was it like 4 weeks later. There was 4 weeks for an SD deadline. Then there was 4 weeks for a DD deadline. Then there was I helped for a week on another SD deadline, and now I'm in the middle of a CD deadline.
Nice.
In the midst of just, you know, being awesome. I mean, what can I do?
I mean, that's good. That means it's moving on, and then eventually you'll be in permit, and then eventually you'll be getting built,
and then eventually you'll be. Well, we get on.
Yeah, yeah. The RFIs.
Oh. Okay, so let's start with something that I found. It's the five changes the architecture industry needs. It's just a post from Studio Layout Academia, and yeah, just something I posted, and I was like, oh, okay, I don't even know if I read through them, so it'll be the first time I'm looking at them, but let's see.
It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, let's see our opinion. So the first one
is basically old is not always gold.
Yeah, because it's gray. It's old.
Yeah, but apparently it says the architecture industry is filled with people who claim, oh, that's just how it is, when talking about wages or toxic environments or overworking with no overtime pay. Out with the old, we say. The current generation of architects need to change this notion and leave the profession in a better state for the next generation. What do you think?
Yeah,
is that
yeah,
true?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair. Not necessarily, well, okay, like.
Do you think we already have, like, the generation that passed before us, do you think they left a better state for our generation?
That's tough. Put me on the spot.
In a way,
I'm not saying.
In a way, for me, it's like yes, because now women can be in the profession and shallow.
Unfortunately.
Shallow.
I'm playing. I'm going to get canceled on my own.
Wow.
Podcast. Okay.
Guys, I need a new host.
So, like, out with the old. You know, that they said out with the old, we say. So, like, the saying is out with the old, in with the new. I wouldn't take it that far. Like, it's not just like, oh, you know, you were here before us. Like, you're the older generation. Okay, leave. Like, we're going to come in and take over and do our own thing.
Yeah.
That's not the case. But, like, the main point of this particular portion of the post, old is not always gold. I'll agree with that because, like, just because that's the way you did it in the past, like, yes, it still holds value and is relevant. That doesn't mean that's the way we can do it now. Now, don't confuse that with, oh, this is how we used to do wood frame construction with, okay, now we're going to do totally different. No, that's not the case. That's too broad. But if you look more in depth and detail and you go smaller, which is like, oh, we used to only use CAD. Okay. Well, yeah, like that old way is not the golden standard because obviously technology advanced.
It's improving, yeah.
Right, but I mean, let's just say there's like one way to do post-tension concrete. Like we can't, I mean, sure, there are new technology and there could be a new way, but I'm not going to come at someone who's young and just be like, oh no, that's the old way of doing it. Let's do it this way, or let's try this different type of technique of construction. It's like, no, like, that's what works. That's what the industry does. That's what's affordable. Like, that's the old, quote unquote old way to do it. But there's still, like, relevance to it. But when we go into, like, the, like, minutiae things, like grouping or like, in Revit or, like, maybe an old person doesn't, maybe someone with seasoned, they don't like using shortcuts for whatever reason because they find actually finding it in the Revit ribbon is more important. And I could agree with that, but it does take longer. So I would, you know, go towards using shortcuts.
Yeah.
You know, with those type of things, I would say, yeah, we got to kind of like, you know, move it along. Mm-hmm. But with certain things, it's like, well, 18-inch deep truss, I'm not going to start saying 20 or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm going to use whatever y'all use.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's what's been working. So there's times where mm-hmm. I think it is the oldest kind of gold still because, mm-hmm. I mean, you're learning from there. And then in exactly. a way, you're recreating it.
Sure.
You know, to make it better yeah, gold.
And all of our mentors and
that's what I was about to say.
Leadership.
Like, mentors right now are gold.
Exactly.
So drop the mic.
But so when they talk about like wages and toxic environment and overworking, that's the way it used to be done.
Yeah.
And that specific, and now we're getting more specific. Like, yeah, sure. That's not always gold because it's not the 1900s.
Exactly.
Exactly. And, you know, women are working and.
And men are just.
Men are just there fooling around. No, but with the pay.
Yeah.
The overtime, calling us interns. You know.
Oh, like, exactly that too. Or changing the names.
Exactly. Like the old way. And honestly, I think a lot of that is just to make us feel better because everybody got butt hurt about being called interns. Like, who cares? Like, whatever. Let's just move on with our
lives. It's just like.
But they're trying to change things. So it's like.
Yeah. The fact that they are at least trying to.
Sure.
But, I mean, I don't know if it's going to do any difference.
It doesn't. It's just a
because, it's a societal used to doing. Title. Yeah, it's based on society, but, like, in general, I mean, do you really do intern stuff?
I mean, I think I still
just,
do.
I think it's just part of society making that statement.
Right.
That society, I mean, who freaking put intern? That's not even, I bet you intern doesn't really lay, shouldn't be laid down in architecture. Yeah, intern for something else.
Sure.
But maybe it's like in general. Sure. I don't know. I just think like architecture shouldn't fall in that term. We do too much. And I bet well, you yeah, not even like medicine, all of these types, like, I don't know if they're called well, okay, intern.
So check this out. And I'm sure there could be huge arguments on this, but after you graduate from medical school, mm-hmm. you're a doctor, right? But like you have to do your 5 years of residency.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't know how true Grey's Anatomy is to the profession, but I'm a, you know.
According to
Grey's Anatomy, like they're doctors, but they're supervised. They're being supervised and they're underneath someone. And when they're doing the surgery, the supervisor, the head doctor, the MD is there and he'll step in or whatever. And like they're testing them. They're, you know, if it's a teaching hospital, like, yeah, the trauma guy is in here and he needs help. But like the doctor would be asking him questions, like according to Grey's Anatomy. Right. Mm-hmm. So like, well, that looks like an intern to me.
Exactly.
But you're going to call someone with a doctor, like not it's not a doctor. It's an MD. You know, they're a legit doctor. And you're going to call them an intern.
I don't know about that.
I don't know about that. On the other spectrum, the next one says young ain't dumb.
Ooh.
I mean, some dummies out here, but so senior architects in the profession often treat their juniors as dumb or immature and dismiss all their ideas only because of age. The rest of the world is increasingly being run, ruled, and formed by the youth. Architects, however, believe that the youth don't deserve respect. And I will just say, you know, this is just a post that we found and we're discussing it. I mean, I would think majority of the profession, like, mm-hmm. they don't. Like either or, like old is not always gold, or young ain't dumb, or is, or whatever. Like mm-hmm. I don't really think people think about this, like, or think like that.
I think there's probably a few percentages.
Well, sure, like but like maybe in the grand scheme of things. But if you go to offices and you talk to people, like, I don't think they're thinking like this.
No, I think within time it has changed.
Yeah.
For sure.
Maybe if this conversation was like 20 years ago, 10 years ago, sure. But now it's like everybody's kind of like, you know.
Our generation or and the generation above.
We're working together a lot more.
Yeah. Which is, I think it's good. It's all about, I mean, if you think about it, yeah, maybe they're not like as knowledge, but like in a way, mm-hmm. the old generation, at one point, they were the young ain't dumb.
Right.
You know? So why would you be, it's like you're calling yourself mm-hmm. dumb when that one time, you know, like, mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, I mean, you know, they've been in this situation, so they're
exactly.
They're a lot reasonable. And because I don't think they think we're like the younger generation is dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do think that, it's very dangerous because they're the ones you're mentoring. They're the ones doing the drawings. They're the ones like, you know, doing all the process and figuring it out.
Mm-hmm.
And like you can't just think that they're dumb because then there's no trust within your team.
Exactly.
And I don't think they think that. There's no way. Yeah. There's no
and
way.
If you are in a place where they think that, just freaking leave.
See ya.
Yep.
So the next one's make design inclusive. So what does that mean?
Nice.
Diana, what is that? What does that mean?
The world is not designed or built very well for the differently abled.
Okay, ANSYS.
Okay, that's a fact.
ADA.
It is true. We need to come up with creative solutions to make their day-to-day life easier, faster, and more comfortable. We're not doing enough.
So that's interesting. So have you had the situation in ANSI units where you had to consult with like maybe electrical or whatever or whoever about a specifically impaired person?
Mm-hmm.
Like you had to make this unit a little more inclusive for a blind person, like, or a deaf person.
With consultants?
Yeah, because if there's... Like, I know, like, there's been unit designs where it's like, well, this person's deaf. Well, if the fire alarm's going off or if the smoke detector's going off, well, they can't hear it. So the architect consulted with the consultant, whoever it is.
And, yeah, and like electrical will make the flash.
Or something, you know. And I mean, I've only heard of it, but I haven't actually seen it applied or especially in, like, larger spaces. It's just, like, ramps and...
Yeah,
accessibility for
restaurants. I think there's one time I went to a construction site and it had different stuff. You can tell, or even you know on numbers
mm-hmm.
on the apartments, like on our apartments.
Well, they have Braille.
They had the Braille, mm-hmm. so okay, that's kind of nice. But if you go to like a person that's like that, it will not make sound. It will be visions and mm-hmm. it will be backwards. But like, mm-hmm. I feel like it will be. I don't know if there's a talk already or what about mm-hmm. like when you're designing with those spaces, mm-hmm. like talking to the actual person that is disabled. Mm-hmm. What do you need?
They're probably thinking of different things that we're not even thinking of.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like. Does that happen eventually? Does that even happen?
I mean, if it's a studio project, then you would think, like, yeah, you would need to go to that community and talk to them. But, I mean, there's no time in the profession for doing that. Unless the developer is in that situation, then they would have the architect go to that community.
Yeah, but, I mean, the code also changes based on... On these.
Well, so maybe the code will end up changing down the line where, you know, they start implementing these other disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
But then every state has the right to either adopt or not adopt it.
That's the thing.
It would almost have to be like a fair housing, in a way. Well, it almost like, you know, fair housing's federally mandated.
Mm-hmm.
Either that or another type of accessibility would have to include the other disabilities, right?
Yeah.
And have to get federally mandated. But then that creates more work for the architects. And the industry is probably not going to want to implement that.
Yeah. But then...
Or the developers wouldn't want because then it's going to cost more money.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, that's all they care about.
That's a sad part.
So even if the architect or the owner wanted to do the right thing, doesn't mean it's necessarily going to happen. For example, the multifamily thing that you did, the Christopher.
Mm-hmm.
And Dallas is not required to have ANSI units,
mm-hmm.
right? More accessible than the typical fair housing.
Right.
But why not? Even though it's not required, that means you're just not going to do it? You don't care about these other people that
need
that accessibility? I mean, it's cool that they're able to like replace some fixtures to be the 34 inches so that it can comply for that upon request.
Mm-hmm.
But why not just include it?
Maybe it would be an interesting topic to talk about, like a percentage, like how many people is disabled need this, and then
there's definitely research for cities of that. They're like, it's definitely recorded.
Because now that I think about it, like I don't have that much knowledge per se, but like, where are these people living? Like, what's the higher percentage where do they live?
Especially if Dallas isn't enforcing that, you know, 2% to be ANSI. Like, well, what if the apartment complex doesn't even give them the option? They can't live there.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, so where do they live?
Which is discriminating.
Yeah.
Hello.
Wow. I'm quitting.
We ain't doing that.
Yeah.
Well, because someone from in San Antonio, it's not required, right? Mm-hmm. But they did it anyway.
Yeah, but
because that's just what you do for every project.
You it's just like if you care about money, but. I mean, also if you do that and if you see that people, you know, disabled are, you know, actually trying to move out and, mm-hmm. and are independent, then why don't you just make it? And then you used to be making money.
No, but you know those units cost more money.
Exactly. All but the you blocking, get your money back.
Different appliances. No, they don't rent it for a different price.
That's what I'm saying. Like if you see that it's renting,
right?
Then why don't you?
But you're not gonna rent it for more.
Nah,
and
I don't know.
And that unit isn't specifically just for a disabled person. Anyone can rent it.
Yeah.
Like I know people that have lived in an ANSI unit and they're not disabled. So well, they spend more.
That's
money.
That's also stupid.
Well, it's because they need to rent it out.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of sucks. It's like, well, because if you only rent it to disabled people, well, how many disabled people are you going to get a year? One. So then what's the point of having 12?
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to stay empty all year?
Yeah.
They're not going to do that.
Then do like the Christopher. You can change the appliances.
Yeah, but I
according to that,
I was still fishy. How everything else was 36 inches, but that one little workspace, like,
and then the bathroom doesn't have that.
Right, and
I mean they have the seats, but still.
Yeah, but like okay, they had that 30-inch workspace that was 34 because it's built in. But what happened if 50% of it needs to be accessible?
Yeah,
you're only one of out of how many counters are accessible?
Yeah,
stupid. It didn't make sense. Next one.
We're fighting over here. Yeah. Fuck this poster.
Dead. Okay. Of architects, for architects, by architects. Statuary bodies who we cannot name due to legal reasons aren't doing enough to protect architects. Who are they talking about? I'm talking about NCARB. Come on. I'll say it.
Yeah.
They're talking about NCARB. Or AIA.
Yeah,
one of those. They're saying, this post is saying, bureaucracy has won and this needs to change. Committees need to be formed and run by architects working in the field and not retired personnel. I don't know enough about this, so I don't have an opinion to like get in deep into this, but I mean, I can see that. It's kind of just like with the government. You got like 80-year-olds running the government, and people are saying, you know, their time has come and gone, and now we need younger people as politicians because, you know, the world has changed and there's a new mindset and blah, blah, blah. So it's kind of the same thing. The people running these organizations are of the past.
Yeah. I mean, do you agree? Would you want to have a president that's like younger and...
I think of, you know, someone who was in between.
Mm-hmm. Like in the 30s?
No.
Would you trust someone in the 30s?
No, someone in between, like I guess 50s.
50s.
And I wouldn't mind someone older being the head honcho as long as that person's cognizant and aware of, okay, like I'm going to have maybe this person as my treasurer because obviously the experience matters, but then also the knowledge and relationship.
Can they do
with
the work?
With the youth, right? With that younger generation. So like maybe there's like 12 people on the board of executives, and you know, just make sure you get some younger talent, especially someone who's an architect and licensed on that board. Don't just have 12 people who are older and retired and they're not even practicing anymore.
I just think the younger generation has a bad reputation.
Sure. But that's...
And it just keeps going like... They know, like, okay, younger, yeah, you do stupid shit.
So we're not gonna have you.
Exactly,
make the rules.
I think that's just the mindset all the time, but not all of us
but
are like that.
They can't be right. We're not all like that, and they can't be closed off. Like, okay, if there's 12 people, like, okay, four, eight, okay, you know, three sets of four. Mm-hmm. Maybe four of them are retired and older. Maybe four are, two are older architects and two are younger. And then maybe the other four are teachers with no professional experience or teachers with professional experience and teachers that run their own solo business, you know, like a little mix.
And, yeah.
You know, it's bipartisanship, basically. Like, you don't want one person to say all the rules, but you want, like, both sides to give their opinion. And unfortunately, you have to come up with a compromise because nobody agrees with each other.
Exactly. And then you have to kind of do more and show so that people can trust you, which is kind of sad. But at the same time, that's how it works. I mean, you have to you have to show not just them, but yourself that you can do it.
Yeah. All these parties have to prove themselves because no one trusts each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes with consultants too, with the architect.
Yeah.
I mean, we, you know, I'm sure each discipline thinks a certain way about the other discipline. So it's like, okay, I got to prove myself to be in this position. And then y'all got to prove to me that you can be in this position because we think differently about each other.
Yeah.
Nobody thinks highly about each other unless there's a lot of years of experience that they've worked together.
Honestly, I see everybody equal, you know? Like the architect, civil, structure.
Yeah.
That we all have equal.
It's so important for civil to be on so early. Like, you can't just, like, yeah, you're not important.
No,
like,
everybody's
important. They
got to
be there from the get go.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. I think all of us are in the same level. Yeah, didn't count.
Everybody is. Everybody is. Yeah. Because one person can't do it all.
Yeah,
it's a team effort. It's too much workload.
Oh, you don't got 5 years. That's why there's a bunch of disciplines. Otherwise, then the architect would do everything.
And that's impossible.
Yeah.
Unless you got 50 people behind your back.
Exactly.
Doing all the work. What's this last one?
No, we have two more, but.
No.
Or, yeah. Last one is design is intellectual property.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
Design needs to be treated as intellectual property. Too often, smaller architecture firms see their designs being copied by contractors or individuals, and there's nothing they can do about it. Design is IP. It needs to be protected.
What do you think about that? It's interesting because there's actually lawyers who specify on this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now if you're a small home builder and you do a design, like, yeah, it's gonna, cookie cutter is gonna get copied, and then maybe someone else finds it and steals it and builds it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's like, okay, like, word for word, bar for bar, like, you just stole the house plans and just didn't change nothing. For a mixed use multifamily deal, like, it's harder to copy, you know?
Yeah,
it can't just fit anywhere.
Yeah, no. Like it would be shape, a little
the
form, different.
Yeah, something has to change. So, like, at this, like, while yes, it is design. I think it is design. Design is intellectual property. I feel like it's just for larger projects. It's hard to steal.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to just mimic it.
But I mean, I don't. Out of how many?
Copy it, not mimic it.
Like, skyscrapers are copied. Out of how many?
I mean, there's a.
They're all rectangles, cubes,
but
right?
The inside, no, like, okay, but stair locations got to be different because of code and certain things.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the skyscrapers are more different. When I see, like, intellectual property will be probably, like, houses, single family.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, HEB, grocery stores.
Mm-hmm.
They're all the same, but if you think about it... Yeah, they have a different skin, but the interior is all the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all open warehouse. Like,
yeah, but the outside is different.
Yeah, I think it's just like going back to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah.
And I mean, you already know it works, and then you're getting ideas from everywhere. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Not copy it. Like, I don't think, like, 100%, but at least gets ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the people that copy is basically like copyright, an essay, or something like that.
Well, and a lot of the sets will say, you know, the drawing set or whatever belongs to this firm.
Yeah,
like it says it right there on the title block.
Yeah,
But I mean, like, is it like you don't reinvent the wheel? Like, is it you, like taking inspiration from a project? Like, how much inspiration can you take? Like, how far can you go until you cross that line where it's like, okay, now you're stealing their design and you're stealing the intellectual property?
That's like whenever you copy can, too much your...
But what defines...
Your final...
your final... vector trees?
Exactly. On your precedent...
12 shades?
On the precedent.
Yeah.
One thing is studying, which
by the way, in school, we were supposed to put, like, you know, where source, and we never did that for the precedent.
Oh, yeah, no.
Never.
Just the website and the name.
Not barely. I just stole the name. Don't know. But yeah, that was that post. Interesting topics and conversations, you know, yeah. Really gets you thinking about certain aspects.
I don't know who thinks that design is not being treated as intellectual property. I feel like all of us that are in this field know that.
Right, but don't you think...
I feel like maybe the contractor doesn't.
Maybe.
With the client, you know.
Yeah, wouldn't you think, like... What was I going to say?
I feel like we are more of, like... unique.
Well, a lot of times... Style. The owner, the developer would be like, oh, I like that one. Like, do the same thing for me. But they went to a different architect for it. It's like, well, I can't just...
Yeah.
Like, it's maybe... I don't know if it is or isn't, like, definitely labeled in society that it is, but we treat it as it is because out of respect, we, like, if they came and gave us the... Like, you know, let's say you're the client, you did a project with firm A, and you came to me, firm B, and you came with firm A's drawings, right? Mm-hmm. Because you own them, you pay for it. Rebuild this. I didn't like working with them, but I like the design. Rebuild it. As a professional, I would, you know, it's not the client owns it, but I would probably be like, like, sure, but let's rethink it. Let's make it better. Let's change something because I don't want to just copy what they did. That's first of all, that's no fun for me, and second of all, that's not my design. That's theirs. I know you own it as the client because you paid for the design.
Yeah,
but it is to me. It's just I don't know. It just doesn't feel right.
So yeah,
we treat it as intellectual property.
Exactly. And if, you know, you're an architecture and you're not treating it as it is, then get maybe you shouldn't be an architect.
No. So, and then that all kind of brings us to, you know, that whole transitioning process. So we've already had some previous episodes on it where we talk about that. A lot during our career fair episodes. So we've talked about like portfolios and documentations and the whole stealing people's work and things of that nature. And that kind of, that really goes into...
Falls into that.
Yeah. Well, you know, what we're going to end up talking about in the future when we talk about what we do at work. And, you know, there's some episodes about getting jobs. And
yeah.
Interviewing and the
career go check
fair.
It out. It's episode 40, 42, 45, 46.
Yeah, we did like a four-part.
50.
We did like a four-part series.
Yeah. The 50 is the legal fines.
Legal fines, which I think in the next episode we're going to talk about something. So go check out episode 50 before checking out the next episode, you know, just about the whole master situation and getting licensed, et cetera, et cetera. So... hope you guys enjoyed and hope you stay tuned because there's plenty more to come.
Yep.
And plenty more foolery to happen.
Yep. Hope you guys have a good day.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
And you enjoyed listening to us, talking to us, you know, in your spare time, pretending to talk to us. It's okay. We're there.
I heard,
News?
Well, no, one of our previous guests from New York, Christopher.
Oh, yeah?
He started his own podcast. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Congratulations. Shout out.
Yeah, shout out. I mean, that's cool.
Yes.
It's called The Architecture Show. He doesn't have any episodes up yet, but it's on like Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And he reached out to me like on my personal Instagram, you know, asking about the whole setup and all that. So, I mean, it's pretty cool, you know? I feel like, you know.
Yeah, that's
good. He enjoyed being on it, and now he's going to go... you know, talk about architecture and like the whole Northeast kind of feel and vibe, and have professors on and students. So
yeah,
I can't wait till he has some episodes. It'd be interesting. You know, I'll try and jump in here and there, but
yeah, that'd be cool. Well,
see ya.
See ya.